Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Claire. Thanks, Tony, for your service. I am Rory. I'm a compulsive gambler, and I surrendered in this program on September 11th of 2024. Super grateful that you asked me to speak today, Adam. It's been awesome getting to know you. So my story is, I'll take it in this format. I'll tell you what it was like. I'll tell you what happened, and I'll tell you what it's like now. It's a really important part of my story to explain that I got sober from alcohol and drugs while attending business school back in 1992, 30 days after my 21st birthday. And the reason it's important to explain that is I'm not a stranger by any means to the 12 steps of recovery and what that, what that process really involves. So I didn't really start gambling until after I got sober from alcohol and drugs. In fact, I'm currently writing my gambling autobiography right out of the GA Writing the Steps booklet. And so I've had, several months of writing that I've been actively involved in doing that. And it's amazing how much I have uncovered in terms of, slowing down and really, really understanding how embedded my compulsive gambling has become. And I had some quiet time today to reflect before speaking today to try to just simplify the story and because I want to spend most of my time on what it's like now in recovery and what I'm doing to stay in recovery. I'm a classic example of what's called transfer addiction. After getting sober from alcohol and drugs, I very very cleverly, I don't know if that's the right word, transferred my addiction to compulsive gambling, adrenaline, and a little blend of lust and sex. And that blend, that transfer had basically gone on for the last 32 and a half years. I turned 54 in October, so I'm very, very fortunate that I didn't drink and drug during all the insanity of my compulsive gambling addiction. But this doesn't mean that I didn't suffer. And So, when it talks about in our combo book, many Gamblers Anonymous members went through terrifying experiences before they were ready to accept help. That really sums up my story because the end was beyond terrifying for me. And what the end looked like was I said I was a very big yes to question 20, and I ended up sitting in a psychiatric ward in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, for about, I think it was a little over 6.5 hours with my beautiful little dog in my lap, beyond just so afraid to go home because I didn't want to live anymore. And, I was going over some of the feelings of, and I love our literature because, the people who write about this program and summarize, compulsive gambling and what it really is, they're so accurate. I was embedded with nervousness, irritability, frustration, indecision, panic attacks. I couldn't sleep. I think the most sleep at the end I was getting was maybe 2 hours at a clip, and pretty much a fear of everything. Fear had completely consumed almost everything I was doing. I was extremely isolated at the end by choice, because my dream world had basically turned into a nightmare world. The guilt and the shame of not being able to stop and taking a 30 something year career of hard work and pretty much evaporating all of it. At the end I had very little left. And that's just the balance sheet. That's actually, after some time, I've come to realize that's actually the good news. The damage I really did was emotionally and psychologically. I was so, I was filled with self-loathing at the end. It was just, and it was powerful. And I felt like there was no way out. I felt like I was the last human alive. And I really do believe to this day, I've said this quite a bit, especially at the beginning, that I wouldn't be here if I didn't have this beautiful dog that I've spent almost the last 11 years with. I just couldn't leave her. But that's where my 32 and a half year cycle of compulsive gambling took me. So September 11th of 24, found myself in that psych hospital, That following Saturday, I went to my very first, they recommended that I attend an in-person GA meeting. So that was a Saturday morning. It was a, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was an anniversary meeting, so it was a big meeting. And I could barely put a sentence together. You know, all I could say was, "My name is Rory. I'm a compulsive gambler." And then the emotions just took over. And I pretty much cried that entire meeting. I was just so overwhelmed with emotions. And I think it was because I've always known I was, and I couldn't do anything about it, or I did, or chose not to do anything about it. But the bottom line was I surrendered. You know, that was my beginning of my surrender. And a woman in that meeting, that was a Saturday morning. I think it was the 14th. And a woman in that meeting came over to me and, you know, gave me a big hug. A lot of people came over to me, gave me big hugs. And I was, you know, enormous amounts of kindness. And there was a one woman in there who gave me, she asked me if I wanted to participate in a, I didn't even know virtual, you know, I knew about virtual meetings because of AA, but I never really embraced them. I never really, you know, I went to one here and there, but it wasn't my thing. So the next day, the next morning, I found myself on, it was a Sunday, I think, yeah, it was the Northern California meditation meeting. And that one, that ended up becoming one of my staples for the longest time. And so that was my beginning of my GA journey. And, you know, also through that facility, I was very fortunate to be able to work with once a week a psychiatrist and once a week a psychologist. And I did that for almost 5 months at the beginning of my recovery. You know, very early on, I think, I don't know what the time frame was, somebody in that Northern California meditation meeting gifted me the GFFR website. And that was the game changer in my recovery, because the I don't ever want to say anything disparaging about any meetings, because all there's good things in all meetings. But the, you know, and I attended every single physical meeting in Oklahoma City for the majority of the time I lived there. I recently moved. But you know, the GFFR introduction really changed my recovery, because I didn't realize that there were, you know, the accessibility and the availability was limitless. And it opened up my little world from, you know, I was trying to concentrate at the beginning on finding virtual meetings near me so that if I made connections with people, it would be easy to go see them, you know, and get in the car, you know. And I pretty much was so desperate at the beginning. If you had told me there's a great meeting 2 hours away, I wouldn't even blinked. I went. And most of my meetings were anywhere from 30 to 40 minute drives anyway, because, you know, anybody who knows Oklahoma City, it's a very spread out place. So GFFR was a game changer. You know, page 17 was a game changer. You know, at the very beginning, in my first couple weeks, you know, remember I came into GA with a, you know, a lot of years in AA, and I was very opinionated that we kept reading the combo book. And a lot of these meetings, we were reading most of it, and I was like, "What is this redundancy? I don't understand it." And it wasn't until, I don't know, it was probably about a month and a half, maybe even 2 months into the program, after reading that. At, you know, most of those meetings we read through the majority of the book, did I understand why? Because there is not a vowel in that book that I don't identify with. It's to this day, you know, I was in an in-person meeting last night, and we read, you know, there was only seven of us, and we read through the entire book, and I love that we did, because I need to hear that. You know, I have a disease that tells me I don't have a disease. And when I read that with frequency, I'm reminded, you know, on a daily basis, because I go to meetings every day, of, you know, what it was like a short time ago, you know, the isolation, the you know, losing the desire to live, you know. And I don't want to go on and on, but, you know, it was a really dark bottom for me, very dark and very lonely. And I'm glad it's over, and it's over because of my belief in a higher power and my surrendering to this program. And, you know, I won't do too much AA literature, but I am a firm believer in, you know, A, B, C. A, I'm an addict. I can't manage my own life. B, no human power can relieve me of my addiction. And C, God could and would if he were sought. I'm going to go through page 17, because it really is a really important part of my recovery. You know, because I haven't been working, since I've been very fortunate that I still had some assets left over after all the damage, after the smoke settled on my personal balance sheet. I worked for myself, so most of the damage was to me. I didn't steal from other companies, and I stole from myself. But page 17, number one, meetings make it. I didn't do a 90 and 90. I probably averaged anywhere from 3 to 5 meetings a day between in person and virtual. And I had so much trouble sleeping at the beginning that, my introduction to the international meetings was very early on, especially Dublin, Scotland, a little bit of Australia, but really most of my focus was in those two areas. I also found Pubi in South Africa, who, I attended two of those a week for, I think, the first 4 months. So I embraced it. I just, I was so afraid of going back to that darkness that I made a decision that I was going to, and I continue to pursue my recovery the same way I pursued that ridiculous cycle of, my transfer addiction, constantly, chasing the bet, chasing adrenaline, and chasing sex. And I did that for a very, very long time. I write every day in my program. Another part of my recovery is I have two journals. I have a personal journal that I write in every day, and then I have my step writing journal. And the amount of self-delusion that I have uncovered, a few days, this weekend will be 9 months that I've been in this program, and it's unbelievable how good I am at lying to myself. It's an acquired skill, and I got quite good at it. Number two is telephone. And the, that was a game changer for me too, because I spent a lot of years in customizing my Alcoholics Anonymous, my Narcotics Anonymous program, and I never used the telephone. I relied on myself, and so I made a decision early on that I was going to completely give myself to this simple program, and I have. And so I have the telephone's been a game changer too, because it allowed me to be vulnerable and really get to know people outside of meetings. And I used to be the fair weather journaler. I only journaled when, I was on vacation or things were great. I never journaled when I was, afraid and alone and, not feeling well and, all the crazy thoughts, the insanity. And that's not the case today. And with the telephone, especially at the beginning, I, it saved me, because there were people who, they listened to me for sometimes hours. And I'm not exaggerating. And so I have not stopped doing that. I continue to use the telephone. Even if people are busy and I just text them, I like the connection. I like that unity part of this program. Three for me is very simple, because my main gambling vices were financial markets and poker. So I've made it next to impossible for me to make a financial markets bet. I've very limited access to what money is left, and if I was going to go back to gambling, I would have to do quite a few. It would take quite a bit in order for me to actually do it, because I've it's not a self ban, but it's pretty close. I'd have to go through quite a few hoops to get that going again. And then in terms of poker, people, places, and things, I just don't go anywhere near gambling establishments ever. I mean, and if by happenstance, I'm anywhere near them, I'm going to bring somebody, or I'm going to talk about it, or I'm just not willing to put myself at risk. I don't care how much time I have; it doesn't matter to me. My recovery comes first. Number four is another game changer: a day at a time. Most days at the beginning, it was an hour at a time. I've been relying on the deeper connections that I'm referring to get me through some of those really hard early days, and especially at the beginning, and it worked. People in this program are incredible. I saw that once I was vulnerable, and once I started telling the truth, people more than reciprocated that to me. They were there, I was calling people in the middle of the night at times, and people didn't even blink. They took my calls, and we got through whatever it was, and a day at a time, I continue not to place the bet. Five is pretty much, that this is getting into the meat and potatoes of the program. Following these steps in my daily affairs. I talked about working those two journals. One of those journals is specifically step work. Early on, I got a sponsor. His name is Scott Kay. He lives in Oklahoma City. Really strong program. And our, we jumped right in. My step one consisted of my writing my personal answer to the 20 questions. And then I also did a, there's a 12-page pamphlet called, I've got it here in front of me somewhere. It's step one, the foundation of recovery for compulsive gambling. And what it does is it breaks down in very, very good detail powerlessness and unmanageability. So that's the first 5 pages. And then the next 7 pages is Q&A. So it really gives, it's a step-by-step breakdown of what my powerlessness really looked like, specifically mine, like, where I took it, how far I went. And then, my unmanageability, which, for me is pretty simple. It's extreme self-centeredness married to extreme immaturity fueled by every single one of those character defects. I talked about sponsorship. He's a huge part of my program. I talk to him every day, usually through text, but we are in touch. I did not do a pressure relief group because, like I said, I wasn't under, I wasn't, the balance sheet wasn't inverted. And then eight, which is something that to this day is a very challenging thing. Patience has never been part of my one of my specialties, but I work very hard at it every day to slow down and understand that this is a process. And no matter where I am, it's always better than where I was. And that's just the truth. So I'll get into what my daily routines look like. I start every day in quiet prayer and meditation, and that has been a consistent practice since day one. And I'm keeping it really simple. I'm not trying to be Thomas Merton. I go through my actual step one, two, and three in my morning practice, where I start with the honesty of step one, and I affirm and very, very slowly and very purposely admit my powerlessness over alcohol and drugs, over compulsive gambling, and also over lust and sex. And then I go through the specifics of my unmanageability, which I just said before, extreme self-centeredness married to immaturity and fueled by the character defects. And if any are really, really flaring up, whether it's, today I had some resentments kick in, and I had to pray them away immediately. And they'll make it into my journal today as well, because they were two really strong ones. And then I go into step two, which is, for me, it's very simple. I'm acknowledging that God w can restore me to a normal way of thinking, can restore me to sanity. And then my step three, which also I keep very simple. It's a daily decision. So, again, I go through the actual words of the decision, asking, I make it turn it into a prayer. And recently I've married it into what's called the set aside prayer, where I set aside, ask God to set aside everything I think I know about him, other people, the program, and myself, so that I can find his light and love in any given day. Okay, I'm gonna keep going here. I've got some notes just because I didn't want to be too scattered. I made reference earlier to the, currently being in the process of writing what's called a gambling autobiography. And, I gambled for 32 and a half years. I gambled from 21 to, 53. And it's, I'm about, I'm a little chronologically, I'm about a little bit, I think I'm through like year 17, because I'm being very, very, very specific and, uncovering a lot of stuff. And I know I keep making references to those other addictions, but I really have to, because I did this constant cycle. It was like a really bad merry-go-round of compulsive gambling, adrenaline seeking, which really means putting my body at risk, whether it was physical sport, motor sports, and it was constant. It was like, and what it really was chasing that dopamine. And I did it, relentlessly for a very, very long time. The other thing I when I was going over some notes this morning about, really important parts of my recovery, outside of my sponsor, I really feel like I have collected guides. It's been, like I said, about a week shy of 9 months. And, there's multiple people outside of Scott K, my sponsor. There's Hal P, who I talk to on a weekly basis. There's Mikey H in New York City. There's Jean M in New York City. There's Heidi D, who's in this meeting in New York City. God, sorry. I get emotional just thinking about, and there's Andy D in Australia, and each of those people, sorry, I didn't think that was going to happen. It's incredible that I only know those people, a little over 8 months. I feel like, I feel like I've known them a lifetime because those people are 100% there for me. In my old life, I was lucky to have maybe somebody that I could confide in. And, all those old relationships were based on, they weren't based in trust. They weren't based in honesty. They weren't based in, all the things that I'm working on today in this program. And these relationships that I'm referring to are, what all those guides have in common is they are all working the steps in all their affairs. They are working this program very hard, and they're showing me how to do it. And they're brothers and sisters. And there's many, many other people that I'm not acknowledging, and there's a lot of them, and they know exactly who they are. And but those people in particular have become, they're people that have, they were there at pivotal moments for me, and they're still there. They're there more than ever now. That and that I knew it was okay to trust them because of the way they treated me when I opened up to them. And that's something that I always wanted in my life, and I was not capable of doing because my life wasn't based in honesty. I was not, I wasn't showing up, and my old program was half measures of, through and through. And this program is not. I'm coming up on 25 here. Only got a few minutes left, and I'm glad that I do because, the higher principles of GA, the progressive character change makes reference to kindness, generosity, honesty, and humility. Those four words are really important parts of my morning prayer and meditation because the prayer part is, okay, God, I'm going through my one, my two, and my three. Obviously, I throw those words up because they're ideals, they're goals in my 24-hour day. But then the meditation part is kicks in where I slow down, I stop my mind, and I just listen. And I don't know how when it, I think it was about 2 or 3 months, probably about 2.5 months in this program, where I started bringing my journal to my morning practice with a pen, where the journal was open and the pen was out, so that if during my meditation something came up, I wrote it. And that's been happening more and more frequently the longer I am I'm in recovery. And for anybody who hasn't tried it, it's a really cool. It's in it, doing it in that quiet morning time, it's just a great way to start my day. And if I am, and there are some mornings now where I'm waking up overwhelmed with, self-centered fears, whether it's financial insecurities, whether it's, because I just went through a massive lifestyle change. I mean, and it's okay, and I'm gonna be okay as long as I don't gamble. As long as I don't, as long as I respect that this disease is significantly more powerful than I am, and all I have is, a daily reprieve based upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I was in a really powerful Step 6 meeting last night. There was only seven of us, and I felt so great this morning when I woke up and texted all six of those other people to talk about how great that meeting was. And it was just and I got them at the beginning of their day, right after I came out of the energy of the practice I just described. And God and GA are showing me and teaching me how to love myself again. And the word gratitude isn't strong enough. It's been an awesome journey. It's only been, I'm really, really blessed because I know if I stay on this program, I'm going to be okay, more than okay, and get a shot at the life that I always wanted. So, once again, I really, really appreciate you asking me to speak today, Adam, and thanks to everybody for showing up. And I really love this program, and I'll keep coming. Thanks, everybody.
Beautiful share, Rory. Thank you so much for coming in today. And Right, we're going to open up the room now for anybody who would like to ask Rory a question, any question, and we'll give Rory the opportunity to answer those questions. We've got two hands up at the moment. Mohammed, would you like to come in and ask Rory a question or share anything that's on your heart and mind?
I've got a question for Rory. Thank you, Brother Adam. Brother Rory, what's the best thing to date you've read in the program? And also, what's the best thing you heard in the program today? Thank you, that's all.
So the two questions, the best thing I've read and the best thing I've heard. God, that's a good
Yes.
question. Good question, Mo. It's really good. I love how simple GA keeps it. Obviously this is a derivative of the Big Book, and simplifying it into 17 very succinct, very simple pages. I think the best thing I've read is probably 17, just because it's a roadmap. It's right there, and it's in bold and it's simple and it's eight bulletins. And the best thing I've probably heard, I mean, I like all the phrases. I like one day at a time, but I'm only alone if I have to, if I choose to be. And today I don't choose to be, and I don't choose to be because I've surrendered to this program. And the unity of GA is, it's incredible. I mean, I know it's saving me. So that's my answer.
Thanks so much for answering that, Rory. Great question, Mo. And Brian, would you like to go next?
Yeah, I'm Brian, recovering compulsive gambler. Rory, I wasn't even planning on popping on today, and I had time, so I did. And I get a little emotional too about this stuff, but I'm having a terrible day. That being said, I'm stuck in self-pity, fear, all this other stuff. I'm angry at myself because of all the work I have to do to get myself out of this hole I created with my gambling. So I decided to pop on today because I don't know, I'm trying to do things different in spite of how I feel. And boy, oh boy, Roy, did your lead or share just hit me right in the face? You and I are so similar in the way we gambled. Our background in AA, switching addictions, and you spoke to me at a really important time that I needed to hear it. And I really enjoyed everything you said. Was very, very much from the heart. And when you were describing, or you were listing the people that are in your lives, and you started getting all emotional, I felt that because I just went through a really long, painful court battle. And thank God I avoided prison because I did some really selfish things in order to gamble. And I did a gratitude list yesterday because my sponsor told me to. So I'm like, I did it. And one of the things on the list was all the people that I have in recovery. And I had a bunch of people come to my sentencing hearing that were in recovery, both AA and GA. And it's like, it is overwhelming because it's like we have this, I'm going to rephrase that. I have this very bad opinion of myself for what I've done. And the only time I'm out of it is when I'm actively involved in my program and I'm like lifting myself up and out of it. And the people that are around me, the people in these meetings, the people in this meeting are part of the reason I can survive. And your lead really spoke to me. I'm trying not to get emotional because I'm just having a terrible day. And just everything in my life seems to be falling down on me right now. And it's really hard. And I don't want to gamble. That's not the thing. I'm dealing with the after effects of all my gambling. And repairing the past is a it's a big It's a big task. But what's the alternative? Quit? End up wanting to commit suicide, you know, doing something crazy. And, you know, all that does is pass all my pain onto my family, my daughter and my wife. And I made a commitment very early on that no matter how hard this gets, I won't. I can't even say this without almost crying, but I'll never do that to her because that's just not fair to her. Not fair to my wife either. It's just not. But this, you know, prison, insanity, and death. I was at the door of all three because of this. This illness is strong and it is patient and it'll wait us out. And that's why we need meetings and we need each other. And that's the formula that I have seen work for people that have many, many successful years of recovery. They stay connected. So I really, really appreciate your lead. I'm glad I came today and everyone have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate that. Keep coming back. Are there anybody else who would like to ask a question directly to Rory or just share anything on your heart and mind? If you want to come off mute now, as we don't have any hands up, please feel free.
Hello, Brother Rory. George B. here. So I just wanted to say that I'm very happy that I was able to hear your story.
These are Russian spies!
And I'm very happy that you are in my recovery, brother. I know we don't keep in touch too often, but all our chats and we had one phone call. I really enjoyed it, man. And your attendance of the meetings is something amazing, and you're a great example for me how to attend meetings because I had some lazy periods in winter when I didn't feel right, and you were my example because most of the meetings which I attended I have always seen you in those meetings. So yeah, this is what I wanted to say, and I related to a lot what you have said today. And the Hello Combo book, page 17, is also my compass. So thank you so much. And thanks, everybody, for your service.
May I say
something?
Thank
you very much. Heidi?
Yes. Thank you. Rory, I just want to thank you for your story. I am so very happy that you trust me enough that you made me your friend. And I know how hard that is because I never trusted anybody in my life until I came into this program. And I never had any friends. So this program really changed my life. And I'm so very, very, very happy that you are part of my life. Thank you. That's it.
IED blocker red, 100 pound and blocker red, 100 pound and blocker red.
Oh, gee. They like to be funny.
Who was that? Right, don't let anybody in now. We'll lock the room.
There you go. Yeah, you can lock the room.
Yeah, sorry about that. If we go to Esmeralda, Esmeralda's got a question, or is it anything on your heart and mind?
Hi, I have a question, but also it's kind of what's going on with me personally. My question for Rory is, this is only my third meeting ever, and my question is, how did you open yourself up to other people? Because that's the part that I'm really struggling with, is the vulnerability and the honesty. And what really spoke to me about what you were saying is you felt that your program really started working when you let in that, when you were able to be vulnerable, when you were able to be honest. And so I guess my question is, when does that happen and how can I allow that to happen for me?
Yeah, that's a great question, Esmeralda. So one of the benefits of going to a lot of meetings is I've got exposed to a lot of different recovery, and it was not hard. You know, people who, you know, when I listed those specific people who are my quote unquote guides, you know, they are just as important to me as my sponsor, because they're the people that I know that are working this program. You know, they've had the promises come true. You know, some of the people on that list have 30 plus years, you know, mid 20s, or, you know, the time doesn't really, they have quality sobriety. So you'll hear that quality. It'll be very obvious. You know, it's like, it's no different than when you go somewhere and you see somebody, you know, living a spiritual life where they're living in kindness and generosity and honesty and humility. They shine, right? Like it's, and that's, you know, clearly that's what I want. You know, that's the polar opposite of where my addiction, you know, at its worst had taken me. So I would look for those qualities. And, you know, the people who have that, when you show them, you know, a vulnerability, and you show them your truth, and they're going to reciprocate, you'll be okay. You know, the unity part of this program is remarkable. You just have to, you know, it's a leap of faith sometimes. It's not comfortable, but it's worth it.
Thank you so much for answering that.
You're welcome.
Right, we'll go to Michelle F. now.
Hi, Michelle F., compulsive gambler, 5225. And I just want to say to my friend Rory, I really love you, guy. Rory has been a very big inspiration in my recovery since I've been here. I came in March, and I relapsed a couple of times. But I met Rory my first in-person meeting, and right away we clicked. You know, we basically had some of the same experience with the long-term sobriety and another fellowship. And the most important thing to me was I could, you know, his heart reached out to my heart. I was able to feel him when we talked. He was really honest. And it gave me such hope, you know, that this would work for me. I know that the program works, which is why it enabled me to do a lot of the things that Rory's doing. It's like making a lot of meetings, you know, in person and online. Talking to people outside of the meetings, making those phone calls, getting to know other people in the program. And allowing them to get to know me, being totally honest and transparent. It's real important. I mean, this is what's helping me to hold on, you know. No matter what, I'm not going to gamble because I'm going to use the tools y'all gave me. You know, that page 17 is really dynamite. It actually gives you the roadmap, you know, to success in this program. And I just want to, Thank you, Rory, for being a friend to me. I wish you the best in everything you do. God bless you. Thank you guys for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for that share. Yeah, we're all friends here, aren't we, really? You know, I've known Rory a while myself, and you know, he's, I can remember Rory coming in a rock bottom, and, you know, where he is now is, it's just a great place to be one day at a time. However, he does keep nicking my topics because I do the meeting the next one and I have to rethink a topic, but I don't hold any resentment towards him. And would Tony, you wanted to ask a question?
Sure. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Rory, for your share. Very inspirational. And thanks for talking about cross addictions also. I'm wondering, do you still work your AA program, the 12 steps of AA? And also, you talked about fear. Like a lot of fear and of the future, a lot of remorse also. And that seems to be where I'm stuck. And where do you have any words of wisdom, you know, about getting over the fear and the remorse? And if you work still, do you work this program as a template for how you're handling other things, or you just work one program at a time?
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, I do still work AA. I probably average, I'd say I average right now 3 in-person AA meetings a week. So I do have some sponsees in AA, and it's important for me to show up at meetings where they are, because that's the commitment. That's part of that's the 12th step at, you know, in its truest form. Especially with the guys who are really new. And in terms of fear, you know, I mean, I, you know, like I said earlier in my story, I keep it really simple. So I'm trying really hard in time, meaning as the fears are happening, to, you know, to really meet it with faith. And I have to say, you know, I made reference to this. I used to be a fair weather journaler. When I'm really overwhelmed, I like to write, because there's an accountability to it, but it also, it brings it out, you know. Writing, you know, a conversation with somebody is great, but the writing, there's a more permanent part to it. And it's, I don't know, it's really helped. I really, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, write any novels or anything, but I really do feel like writing is a game changer in terms of owning what's really going on, you know, staying out of the dream world, staying, you know, and obviously staying in today, understanding that I really can't do anything in the future, but I can change, you know, whatever's going on today. If things are going negative, or I'm overwhelmed with, you know, things that I really shouldn't be focused on at any given moment, and I'm writing about it really helps.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome, brother.
Don't know what happened there with Rory's voice briefly, but we'll go to Caroline now.
G'day, my name's Carolyn. I'm in recovery. Today is day 6, many times in and out. Just wondering, I have a challenge when I journal. I always feel very, very pretentious. And I almost feel in writing out the feelings that it's pretty performative and that I'm not actually being honest. Is there anything you do when you're journaling to get away from that feeling, from cringe, if that's something that you experience also?
You know, at the beginning of my program, my writing was definitely difficult. Everything was difficult. It was just hard. And, you know, there's a certain amount of perseverance that's required. You know, if something, you know, obviously I took a break from meditation because that was also scary at the beginning. You know, any time alone was scary. I'm, you know, the very beginning, you know, my first week, 2 weeks, I attended an enormous amount of meetings. I mean, a lot. And I think what that achieved was I realized that I was so far from alone that there were a lot of other people that felt exactly the way I did. And based on that, you know, I took that energy. It's like physics, right? It's positive motion. And that's where I started to write. So, you know, there's times that I think writing early in the morning when the mind is still calm after sleep and after, you know, after strong periods of prayer and meditation is a really great time for me to write. You know, writing right after being overwhelmed. I mean, you know, sometimes just, you know, at the beginning, for me, it definitely did not work. So I would pick and choose when to write, you know. Does that help?
Okay, Caroline.
Thank you. That was very useful.
Thank you very much.